It's Christmas, baby. Hello, friends. It's the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast Christmas special 2019. My name is Mark Heath. I'm your host as ever. The whole gang has congregated in the studio this morning. One of us was about half an hour late. I'll leave you to decide who that might have been for yourselves. Two of us on a day off. Stuart Watson has got a lot of work to do today. Let me introduce the crew before we get involved in some Christmas chat. Dancing along, showing the rhythm that we all know he's got, Dr. Stuart Watson. I need a doctor,
call me a doctor. Hello.
Hello, friend. How are you?
I'm all right.
Are you looking forward to your big working day ahead?
Yes.
So you can hopefully have some Christmas Eve with your family?
That's the plan.
Good to see you. Have we got the new intro? No, is the answer. Superb.
Live only.
Yeah. Sitting next to me, a fellow man on a day off. We may be here all afternoon at this rate, though. Hutch of House Hogan.
Fellow man.
We are men. Oh!
You all right, Ross?
Yep.
We'll get to you in a minute. Yeah, how are you, mate? You
all
right?
I'm not too bad at all, mate.
Good.
And then, of course, when I refer to the man being half an hour late, there's only one person that's going to be, isn't it?
You've been late before.
Yes, but not half an hour. Greatest producer on planet Earth, survivor of a lightning strike, wearer of a beard, producer Ross.
Yeah, sorry, I was late.
You're not.
Do you wear a beard?
Do you sport it? I think you sport a beard. Or do you boast a beard?
I think you do all of those things. I do none of them. I can't do any of them. And if I did have a beard, I would definitely be wearing it, because it would be fancy dress.
Boys, obviously there's a lot to talk about, and it's not going to be particularly festive and cheerful when we get to that part of the show. Let's just have a brief catch-up, because we haven't seen you, Hutchie, since the live show. You vanished, many offers came in, your agent was busy.
Straight into rehab afterwards.
Yeah.
Three Diet Cokes, we'll do that to you.
How are you, my friend? We've all talked about the live pod on last week's show. How did you feel about it?
I thought it was good. I had a really nice time. Lovely to meet people.
Mm.
Yeah, good fun.
It was excellent.
Glad everyone enjoyed it.
Boys, I'm in trouble. Predictably so. My wife listened to it. She sent me a text as she was listening to it saying, "Your swearing is unnecessary. Potty mouth." And so I'm in trouble there. And I'm also in trouble. In fact, we're all in trouble collectively, because she tells me that we're mean to Ross.
Thanks, Liz. Thanks.
Do we agree with that?
He likes it.
Well, he practically encourages it, to be honest. I mean, he doesn't help himself, does he, the lad?
Mm. How do you feel about this, Ross?
This is some on-air therapy.
It's a bit of banter, isn't it?
It is banter.
I'm the youngster of the group, so
yeah.
You know, normally that's one who gets bullied.
It's like old school football.
Old school football. It's bullying now, is it? Yeah. It's hazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so there we go. That's that chat. Guess where I was at 7:30 this morning?
I don't know.
A park?
Do you care?
A park? With the dog?
No.
In bed.
I should have been in bed, because it's a day off. I was actually in Sainsbury's in Bury St Edmunds, doing the big Christmas shop. We thought we'd get up early, get there early, and it would be like, you know, a complete oasis of calm and tranquility. It's like the last days of Rome. People literally, it was like it was sort of 3 p.m. on a Saturday. It was rammed. It was mental.
But you survived.
I made it through, boys, and got here. Can I also say, there were lots of blokes in there kind of rolling their eyes at each other and doing the, I hate this, I'm here with the wife getting dragged along. Can we stop that? It's nonsense. I love Christmas shopping. I love shopping full stop. So if you're a bloke out there who feels the need to do that, I don't really enjoy this. It's like peer pressure, like you.
Yeah, like me.
You're saying you don't enjoy it, though?
No.
But I'm saying that the blokes out there, who I reckon, feel like they have to portray that negative image. I'm being dragged along by the wife, that sort of thing. Nonsense. If you enjoy Christmas shopping, say it loud, sing it proud. I love it.
Can I just say those are the views of Mark Heath and not the views of the Kings of Anglia podcast.
Now then, boys, let's move on then. Let's get into this not very festive chat. Ipswich Town played at the weekend. They went to Portsmouth. It rained a lot. And they came home losers. Again. Your thoughts, please.
Do we have to?
Well, we kind of do, yeah.
We've established that most of Ross's equipment, cameras and phones and stuff has died. A wet dress.
Body parts.
A wet death.
Yeah.
It absolutely hammered down, didn't it? That was the weather. Cool. Andy, you take it from here, my friend.
The football. The Portsmouth reporter, who I've known for quite some time, Neil Allen, came over to me at the end and just said, Ipswich are rubbish, aren't they? And that said an awful lot to me, because we watch Ipswich every week and we pull their performances to bits. We see the ups, the downs, we pick bits out that maybe are picking things that don't need to be picked. But when somebody that hasn't watched Ipswich for any time at all under Paul Lambert's management watches a game where it's they've come into the game at sitting second in the table and comes over to you at the end, he's seen some rubbish football at Portsmouth, and if he genuinely thinks they were rubbish, that said an awful lot to me.
Yeah, I think for context, Portsmouth they're unbeaten at home. I think the league table, they say it doesn't lie, but perhaps they're better than their mid-table position suggests. They'd gone on a really good run, hadn't they, up until the previous weekend when they got thumped 4-1 at Accrington. And it just felt like the Fratton Park crowd, certainly those around us in the press box, were ready to turn in that first half. There was a sense that they'd messed up the promotion push the previous year. They've started this season slowly. There was a few grumbles early on, and Ipswich just weren't able to capitalise. First half, didn't have a single shot on or off target, and that's becoming a bit of a recurring theme now over this extended run, we have to say, now without a win.
Yeah, you look back at previous games, there's obviously the Wickham game where they scored a perfectly good goal and had claims to win that. Could argue, maybe if you wanted to argue, that they should have deserved to beat Blackpool, you could. They dominated much of the Bristol Rovers game, didn't score, and ended up losing, and then they arguably could have won the league game at Coventry as well. But this one they were beaten. They were beaten fairly. Portsmouth deserved to win. Ipswich were second best and didn't deserve anything from it. And it just highlighted a lot of the worries that have been bubbling away and coming closer and closer to the surface.
Let's talk through a few of the issues from the game. And we've got to start, of course, as always, with any Lambert team, with team selection, the rotation policy. What did you make of the starting 11?
We'll probably get on to the bigger squad rotation issue at some point in this podcast, I'm sure, because that's where a lot of this is coming from. But for me, very briefly on that, I was really hoping that this block of league games that started with the Bristol Rovers game would start bring about the continuity. That would be the start of something. I was hoping when we headed down to Portsmouth that we'd be able to look back at the Bristol Rovers game and think, yeah, they lost that, but at least that was a starting point for what might be a bit of continuity, but it wasn't. They've changed the system again. They've changed the personnel again, and same old worries.
And obviously, Big Totes, he was lively and then got yanked off. Right decision?
Yes, I think he had to come off. I think he was playing okay. I have to agree with Lambert on that. And I know it's a difficult one because the tackles that he made, I thought, were firm but fair tackles. But you have to change the way you play. If you've got booked early on, you have to use your head and you have to dial it in a little bit. And maybe, I just don't think that is his game. Once that sort of homing missile locks on to a tackle with Toto, I don't think he can make that split second decision to turn it off again. And he gets booked after 7 minutes for a sort of long ball over the top. Him and Harrison are chasing it back towards the Ipswich goal, and they're both having a little grapple at each other. But you know, as a defender, you've got to be the one that's most careful there. Yes, Harrison makes the most of it, but I think that's probably a booking. And from that point, you have to kind of change the way you play a little bit. And he didn't. He thumped into a couple of really strong tackles. I like tackles like that, don't get me wrong. And I think he got the ball. One of them was given as a foul. One of them wasn't. But you could see straight away the crowd were calling for stuff. The home players were calling for stuff. The benches were up. And I think Lambert knew that you couldn't take that risk any longer. So that was that.
Yeah, I watched his half an hour or so on the pitch back yesterday because I, you know, obviously a lot of people, including Paul Lambert, were saying that he played well. Yeah, he did okay. It was okay. Him and Harrison probably had half each of that battle. He did okay, but if you can't be trusted to stay on the pitch, which I'm not particularly buying what Lambert said about it being the referee on that particular issue. If you can't be trusted to stay on the pitch until half time,
that's as much to do with Toto's reputation as it is the referee, isn't it? Lambert saying, "Oh, I couldn't trust the referee to know which way his cards were going to go." If that's another defender that's on that booking,
you trust James Wilson.
Yeah,
you trust Luke Chambers.
And I just think there's enough history there with Toto in terms of the way he tackles and some of the cards he's got and fouls that he's given away that definitely would have come into that decision.
Yeah.
And then obviously, Pompey scored a great goal. That was a fantastic goal, young Ronan Curtis, very much their danger man. And then obviously Town then chasing the game, ends up with Chambers getting sent off. That was the right decision. I think we were talking about off air. You were saying very much so the right decision, Hutchie.
Yeah, I think so. I, if there's one man that's gonna make it very heavily known that he shouldn't have received that second yellow card, it's Luke Chambers. And there was a little word with the referee, but I think you'd have seen a lot more from Luke had he strongly disagreed with that. But by that time, what was that, 88 minutes? By that time, the game was up, really. So it didn't have...
They improved have ever so slightly, I mean, after the goal. And Kenny Jackett's talked about Ipswich's best spell came after we scored. But Ipswich's best, you know, you're clutching at straws a little bit, that their best spell in the game was... I mean, they had a couple of chances, Norwood chances, big chances, looking at them back. The first one in particular, where long diagonal from Nolan, defender's backpedalling, doesn't get enough on his header, and Norwood's looking at the goal inside the six-yard box, side foots it wide. There was another one where... Looking back at the footage, he handles the ball.
He almost caught it.
Yeah, he virtually catches it, but that doesn't get given against him, and he stabs that one into the side netting. So sometimes when you're not playing well in games, while it's still 1-0, you've got a chance, and that's when you need your main goal scorer, the man that you've kind of spent your big money on in terms of wages in the summer, to come up trumps, and he didn't. And I guess you could say that feeds back into the whole rotation thing as well, that if he'd have been playing week in, week out, there might be a bit more sharpness there in terms of those sort of chances. But no, they didn't deserve anything from that game, Ipswich. They're just not creating enough opportunities.
Where does it rank in terms of defeats they've had this season? There have been games where you felt, Hutchie listed a few at the start of this piece, where they maybe deserve more, and you're saying they deserve nothing from this game. So is it one of the more dispiriting kind of defeats they've had so far?
I'd say so, especially given the run that it's a part of and the latest punctuation point on. Accrington was a worse performance, I would say. But for this one to come at the time that it's come, in the manner that it's come, on the occasion that it's come, against a team that's one of the big guns of the league, just to fall flat like that again, it's a little worrying.
It's you're right, it's the context of it, because it's 1-0 at Portsmouth, you know, who are unbeaten at home, so let's not go too mad about that. But Andy's right, it's because it's off the back of what's come prior to it. They've played worse than that and won games earlier in the season. But I kind of, this morning I woke up and I reflected on it and I thought, was the performance as bad as I felt initially, straight after the final whistle? Possibly not. I've not watched it back yet. They had one or two chances in the second half, but it's just this growing narrative now, isn't it, without the wins and the form drying up. So they need to turn this around and quickly, I think.
Mm. Roscoe, you were getting drowned in the rain.
Mm.
I imagine that was a thoroughly enjoyable experience.
Yeah, and my knees hurt as well.
Oh, poor baby.
Yeah.
What did you make of it all?
Just nothing to it, really. Just that one goal and that was it. Just we didn't create any chances. That's it, really.
Depressing story.
Yeah.
Depressing story. Okay then, boys. Let's draw a line on that game. Let's tackle the bigger issue, which is what the F. I'm not going to swear anymore. That's took me turning over a new leaf. What the F has gone wrong. So we go back a few short months. Ipswich Town were one of two unbeaten teams left in the Football League, along with European champions and all-conquering Liverpool. Things were looking very rosy indeed. And now, I have to remind ourselves, they still are third in the table with a game in hand still, but that's kind of getting less and less of an excuse now, isn't it? And Stuart, you wrote an excellent piece in today's paper and online. Go and read it if you haven't already. Your Sunday verdict, which basically said there are no excuses left, essentially. Town have to do better. They've got the squad to do better. So what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about, A, what's gone wrong, and then maybe if we can come up with a little five-point Christmas wish list as to how to turn things around.
In terms of what's gone wrong, I think this is not being smart in hindsight. I think a lot of people at the time were saying, despite the wins, the performances weren't wholly convincing earlier in the season, and it felt, I think we sat here and said it felt churlish to kind of pull out any concerns or negatives at the time. They've just come down horribly, bottom of the table with a losing habit, to start the way they did and get wins. It didn't really matter how they came. They were finding ways to win games, and that was to be applauded. But it never felt like there was 90-minute performances. We kept talking about there was only ever one good half, but individual quality was kind of shining through. Perhaps as we've got deeper into the season, this feeds back into the squad rotation, other teams are starting to gel as units now as we're getting deeper into the season. And so where Ipswich's individual players were able to kind of overcome teams earlier in the season, maybe that balance has kind of been tipped towards team play now. That's one theory.
Yeah, League One is a league of high turnover, isn't it? A lot of clubs every summer, you'll find there's heavy recruitment of players, ins, outs, free transfers, and it does take time. What Ipswich haven't done is gelled as the unit. We've talked about this an awful lot, and I'm sure we'll talk about it more today as well, but they haven't done that. They don't know. There's no formation to fall back on. When the bad times come, the natural thing to want to do is kind of rely on your tried and tested, go back to basics, back to safe. Have Ipswich got a safe? Is there something to fall back on? Is 4-4-2 really the thing to fall back on? I'm not convinced it is. They haven't got a starting 11 that you can hang your hat on and say, yep, we're not doing it. Let's go back to a formula that worked. They haven't got that to fall back on, and it feels like they're still searching for it. And it's a worry at times when other teams aren't, and as Stu said, they're gelling and they're starting to find their feet. Ipswich aren't.
So if we're looking for reason number one, above all others, that Town are stumbling and struggling, this is definitely a blip. It's they are not the team they were early in the season. Is that number one with a bullet, the rotation policy, the kind of lack of consistency in selection and formation and tactics? Is that public enemy number one? Is that fair to say?
It's the thing that worries me the most.
Mm.
I don't know how you feel about that. It's the thing that concerns me most.
I think so. I think there's probably various different layers to this, but that would probably be the overarching one for me. I mean, the Vincent Young injury, you have to throw that into the mix. I think he completely changed the dynamic of the team. We talked about the goal that Portsmouth scored, guy picking up the ball on halfway, darting forward, cutting inside, scoring. I couldn't picture anyone in that Ipswich Town team scoring a goal like that at the weekend, and I think they've lost lost someone who can run at people and do stuff like that with Vincent Young. So he's been a massive loss.
Mm.
They've obviously had a couple of other little niggly injuries. Chambers, Norwood obviously sort of had his groin surgery as well. But bad little bit of bad luck as well. You can talk about sliding doors moments. Andy mentioned the Blackpool and Wickham games where we had one that possibly crossed the line against Blackpool. Certainly you had one that definitely should have been allowed against Wickham. If those two results are different, confidence and momentum is everything in football. But you've got to be the masters of your own destiny. You can't keep sort of grasping at referees and bad luck and things like that, can you?
No. No, you can't. No, you can't. We talk about Ipswich's squad here, and it hasn't gelled. They haven't got a preferred 11, and they haven't got a preferred system, but they have got some very, very good football players. And the fact that they've not been fashioned into a solid unit as of yet, it does worry me. Like, if I was sitting here now and you asked, like I think a few weeks ago on this, you asked us gut feeling, will Ipswich get promoted? And I said yes. And I think I would still, and I don't know why, I still would just about say yes.
Yeah.
But the thing that really worries me, that I may be horribly wrong, is this, and that the fact it shows no sign of stopping. That's the thing that worries me, because I really did hope and really did think that this run of five league games would be the time when that would start to see something take shape. But just the way that things change between Bristol Rovers and Portsmouth has concerned me.
I found it quite interesting last week on Wednesday. John Nolan gave what I thought was quite an interesting interview where he said that none of the players like the rotation policy, but hey, it's up to the gaffer sort of thing. And more interestingly, he was talking about the style of play and saying that Ipswich Town are not set up to play long ball. They keep getting sucked into, was the quote, playing long ball tactics, whereas no one actually wants to play like that. They say, you know, he's saying we're a team that wants to get the ball down and play. Norse and Caden up front don't want the ball hoofed up to them. They want it in the channels to chase. And I don't want to play number 10 because that's not my position. And then interestingly, that's exactly what he was doing on Saturday. He was playing number 10. I thought there was a chance he might get dropped, I've got to be honest. But so then he rocks up, he's playing in number 10, and there's not much evidence of a passing team again, is there?
The problem with the passing is that it's all, and again this is about a lack of a natural number 10 in there, is that Nolan would be what you'd describe in probably modern parlance as a 6 or an 8, you know, someone who's box to box. Dizel likes to play deeper. Skuse is certainly a protector. Hughes, I think, is probably, when he's bang at it, is box to box, but on his current sort of recovery timeline, he's probably a deeper midfielder. So I think whenever you play with a midfield three, it's vitally important that you have that blend. Downs is very much sort of tenacious, tackling, breaking it up, but I'm not sure he's going to be the one that you're hanging your hat on for goals and assists throughout the season. So what ends up happening is that there's a lot of nice passing and possession in your own half, and then eventually the ball, we saw this so many times in the first half on Saturday, lovely little spell of possession, ball ends up getting popped back to one of the defenders, and when you've got three at the back against a lone striker, you've got to make those extra numbers at the back count, and the ball would end up going back to them, and Wolfenden, Chambers, whoever, and it would just be, in the end, they would just end up drifting a long ball over the top that I think two or three times just ended up rolling out of play, and Norwood was sort of frantically trying to chase it to make something of nothing, and that's the frustration. I think they finished with 60% possession or something, Ipswich, but it's never in areas that's going to hurt the opposition.
Portsmouth forced the wing-backs back as well, didn't they? And that's the width, and if you are going to play passing football, you need to have the width when you get into the final third, and that's not there. When they play the back three, playing the back three concerns me when Cole Skuse is in the midfield as well, because he naturally so deep. That's just heavy congestion in that area of the pitch. That's four players you've got tied up kind of in your own half. And I don't know if you can afford to do that. I think that's maybe too safe, too defensive in that particular system. I'm not saying I wouldn't play Cole Skuse, but I think when you play the back three, either you use him as one of them, which again I'm not a huge fan of, but he can play that in that hybrid role maybe that we saw around September time, or you play him in front of a back four, or don't play him in front of a back three, because I just think that sets things up too much in the Ipswich half of the field to play.
Roscoe, wake up. What are you worried? You're a Town fan, obviously.
Mm.
You watch the games from the sideline. Are you worried, first of all, and what, if so, what worries you the most about what you're watching?
Not scoring goals, basically. Yeah.
That's been a consistent theme from you. When we did the SWOT analysis, one of the weaknesses you highlighted was not enough goals.
Yeah.
And that's been very much proven to be true since then.
That would look quite different now, wouldn't it?
If we did that, we should maybe do it again at some point. So not scoring enough goals, not creating enough chances.
Rotation as well.
Rotation, yeah.
Just everything just echoing most Town fans, really.
Yeah.
About just rotation, the goalies, rotation as well. Of course, Norris, you know, Andy's done a piece with Norris about, you know, he's here to stay for the year. But I just don't understand that sometimes where you just keep rotating. Even the goalkeepers, that's just crazy.
Mm.
But just we just need to score goals. And that's how you win games, score goals. Score more goals than the opposition and there's 3 points.
The thing that bothers me most about the rotation, and I can understand, obviously, he's got to keep squad happy and all that sort of stuff, but ultimately, when the chips are down, the game is on the line, you've got a big game you need to win, the players need to know that I am one of the players that's going to be expected to step up here, I'm going to be playing, I'm going to put this team on my back, it's on me to do this. And by the sound of it at the moment, players don't even know if they're going to be playing in these big games, so... That's a big worry for me. But anyway, it's Christmas. That's what's gone wrong. Let's talk about what's going to put it right. So, boys, can we, between us, and when I say between us, I'm really looking at you two, Stewie and Hutchie, can we come up with a Christmas wish list? Can we come up with 5 things that would put this situation right? Now, I'm kind of putting you on the spot here. This wasn't on the plan. But, first of all, is number one, ditch the rotation, pick an 11 and stick to it. Would that be number one on the wish list?
Not so much an 11.
Mm.
Is more a system. Mm. Would be number one. The 11 can change week on week. Look, I've got no problem with changing players, one or two changes a week, picking certain players for certain games, certain situations. But I think in general, I'd like to see a way of playing, a system, a way of playing nailed down. That would be number one for me, above any kind of player rotation.
Okay, number one, pick a system. Christmas wish list number one. Number two, Dr. Watson.
Win on Boxing Day. If we're talking really short term now, they've got to nip this in the bud. And I keep talking about during this run, it's always felt like, oh, this isn't the ideal game to follow up with after, you know, Bristol Rovers at home off the back of the Coventry Cup defeat, which was the worst performance, and then it was Bristol Rovers at home, and then off the back of that, Portsmouth unbeaten at home off the back of that, and now we've got Gillingham coming to Portman Road, and there'll be a level of expectancy because people will go, oh, it's Gillingham, we've beaten them twice this season. But if you look at their form, they're actually picking up quite a bit, and they've had some good results recently.
They beat Sunderland a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and I fear that there might be a little bit of frustration in the air and a bit of expectancy in the air at Portman Road, and we're already seeing that Ipswich have struggled perhaps in those scenarios when teams have come to frustrate and park the bus, and I just hope that it doesn't sort of go that way. But, you know, if they could get a win on Boxing Day... perceptions change very quickly in football, and then you're going to Lincoln, which I think Lincoln have dipped off a little bit, and they're not scoring goals, and I'd fancy them at Lincoln. If they could get a result against Gillingham, I'd fancy them to back it up, and then all of a sudden, if you can get 2 results back to back, then you're going into that Wickham game with your tails up again a little bit, and then goodness me, if you can get a result there, then the whole mood changes quickly. It's all about momentum and confidence in football. So in answer to your question, point one, beat Gillingham.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'd move that to the top of my list as well.
So we've got beat Gillingham on Boxing Day, pick a system and stick to it. Roscoe, give me a wish.
Score goals.
Yeah?
Yeah, just because we haven't.
They have to find
how many goals
creating chances.
Yeah, I mean, chances. Yeah,
there's been a huge issue with just getting shots on target, and they were having shots full stop. So,
yeah, I guess the whole shots on target thing can sometimes be construed a different way, because you could have five powder puff chances from 40 yards that trickle through to a goalkeeper, and that doesn't really mean anything. But in general, just the creating chances. I mean, to add to Ross's point, score goals, yes, but I'd love James Norwood to be the one that gets the goals, because this is probably the longest little fallow period he's had for quite some time in his career. He's been used to playing every week throughout his career. He's first time he's had an injury, first time he's not scored goals. He's never played at League One level before. As big a character as he is, I'm sure, like all of us, at times he might have a few little niggling doubts in his mind, and I would just love for him to have a, you know, on top of beating Gillingham, I'd love for him to be the one that got the winner or got the goals, because I think that would do him the world of
he needs good. a big moment like that in front of the Ipswich fans for some kind of wild goal celebration as well, because a lot of his goals have come away from home or have been like the AFC Wimbledon goal he scored at Portman Road was a equaliser. The Bristol Rovers goal he scored was ended up being a consolation. I want a big James Norwood goal in front of the North Stand at Portman Road, because I think that could bring so much good for everybody.
Can we add a couple more wishes to get to reach the generic five?
Freddie Sears comeback.
Yes,
I think you've got to chuck that one in there as well.
He's like a new signing.
Bing bong.
I just think he changes the options in terms of strikers for them at the moment. We talked about Norwood and just now. Caden Jackson's now starting to come in and out of the side, and Keane is still working his way back up. Sears is different to all of those. I think he's more of a wide forward, you would probably describe him as now, but he'd be an option to play whether it's a front three, whether it's a 4-2-3-1, whether it's a 4-4-2. You could. That 4-2-3-1 system is what Portsmouth played at the weekend, where you could have a central striker and then you could have Freddie to the left and
Jokers to the right.
Yeah, I'm not adverse to Jackson playing a sort of a wide striker role as well. He runs the channels and he can produce the odd cross. But yeah, get Freddie back out on the pitch. I just think that would provide everyone with a little boost as well.
Five.
I mean, we could create more chances and Norwood get a big goal. That could be two, and then we could have five. Unless you've got one up your sleeve, Hutchie.
There's not anything jumping out.
Let's do it. Let's keep it at that then. So we've got A, beat Gillingham on Boxing Day. Two, stick a system and pick to it. C, create more chances. D, Norwood get a big goal. And five, Freddie Sears comes back and kicks some ass.
A, B, C, D, 5.
Yeah, man.
On there.
Whatever.
I like it. Freestyle.
I'm on the Christmas sherry. Boys, let's move on. Let's just remind ourselves briefly, it is Christmas. It's December the 23rd. It is meant to be a fun time of year. And we've just spent half an hour doing what can only be described as quite intense punditry. So let's have a bit of nonsense. Let's have a Mark's Big Question.
Big question.
Who was it that picked it? It was Marty Dye, wasn't it, that picked at the live show? Excellent choice, Marty. The worst thing you've ever done. Andy Warren, you don't get to pick very often. Give me a number between 1 and 35.
The 12 days of Christmas, please.
12.
Do you want me to pick another one?
No.
Because we could go December the 25th for Christmas if you want.
Okay, well, I'll let you pick between the questions that you want to answer. So, question number 12 is, Star Wars is shit. Discuss. Sorry, I just swore. That was written down, though, to be fair. And question 25 is, if this studio was burning down and you can only save one of your fellow kings, who would it be? Which one would you rather answer?
I've got a short... I'm indifferent on Star Wars. I've not got an awful lot more to say.
Okay, let's do the burning down. So, who are you saving, Hutchie?
Ross.
I think everyone's going to say Ross. Because Ross, I think, is probably the only member of the team who I wouldn't trust to be able to get out of a burning studio.
Ross is the only one that can work the the podcast system as well. Yeah. The radio for now, system.
For now.
So, am I getting out alive myself, me and Ross?
That's an assumption, yeah.
Yeah, then me and Ross can continue the podcast.
Do the other two definitely die? Or
no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying if there was a fire in it, if suddenly we're engulfed in flames, I'd imagine most of us would spring up and run out the door. I'm not so sure Ross would. He'd sort of be quite oblivious to it, I'd imagine. And sort of be looking at his phone and getting the strike questions up and that sort of stuff. So, Ross, who would you save if we were engulfed in a fiery inferno? Hellfire is all around us. Who are you landing the helping hand to drag us out?
It's probably Stu because he's closest to me, so it's just easier to...
Interesting.
I have to reach you guys. I have to get past Stu to get to you guys.
Okay, so me and Hutchie, just by sheer geography, we're screwed.
We'd look after ourselves.
We would, couldn't we?
We'll be all right.
Yeah. Okay, good. So everyone would save Ross and Ross would save Stu. Interesting.
I didn't say I'd save Ross.
Okay, who would you save?
I'd save Andy.
Yay!
I'd save Andy because, A, he's a father.
Oh, okay, yes, that makes him more important, does it? Here we go.
Well, he's just, you know, there's people dependent on him.
And there's not, I haven't got anyone depending on me. I haven't got a wife and a dog.
No, but your wife is self-sufficient. Okay. And Benson would be all right with his, whereas... Andy's got a small child that needs to be raised.
Okay.
Two, obviously, if you were to perish, RIP, I'd be very sad, but also, you know, opportunities might arise. Promotions. Sports editor, yes, please.
So you're hoping that I'm dying. You're saving Andy and hoping that I perish.
I didn't say that,
well,
did I?
You kind of intimated it, my friend.
Just saying it's good. Might be an added bonus.
It's an interesting time to reveal that at Christmas.
Merry Christmas, yeah. Everyone.
Star Wars, then? Anyone other than Hutchie got any feeling about Star Wars? It's dreadful, isn't it?
Has it been good since the original ones?
Has it ever been good? No, is the answer.
Well,
I'd like to have watched those films when they came out and see how I felt about them when they were released into the wild.
It's never been good.
They're all right.
It's rubbish. Yeah. Average at best. If you're like a grown individual who waits up outside a cinema to go and watch a film about people flying around in space, take a long hard
look at
yourself.
You're very anti-sci-fi, aren't you?
Not anti-sci-fi, my friend. Just particular sorts of sci-fi. Overrated sci-fi. Star Wars, not good. Matrix, good.
Okay.
That's the word according to Heath. Anyway, let's move on. Let's do... That was interesting, Mark's big question. Interesting to know that one of my team want me to die in a fire, hoping they might get a promotion out of
did
it.
Did I say that?
Well, you did, kind of. Rewind it back and see what you think, listeners. Let's do, boys. It is Christmas, like I say. Let's do something Christmassy with a Christmas theme, the theme of giving. Let's do Christmas shopping lists. So, we're all buying presents for Ipswich Town players, staff, managers. You're going to give me a number, I'm going to give you a name, and you're going to tell me what you would buy for that individual person. So who wants to start? Let's start with Ross. Ross, give me a number.
Seven.
Seven. Okay. What are you gonna buy for Miles Kenlock?
What's the seven correlation to Miles?
I've got them all written down.
Okay.
Have you actually?
I have. Yeah.
I'm not sure you have.
That's a scandalous suggestion. Who are you getting Miles Kenlock?
It's remarkable that Ross has drawn Miles Kenlock.
Your favourite player. What are you getting him? Don't say corrective braces, so sort out the wrong.
He's not Forrest Gump.
that was my answer, yeah. Just a book on how to run properly.
Does such a book exist?
Probably.
Dear Miles, Merry Christmas, love Ross. It's a book on how to run properly.
Yes.
Superb. Stuart Watson, give me a number, and I'll give you a completely unrelated player.
Do you just want to assign me a player?
Toto, what are you getting Toto? You and Toto, you've had beef, obviously. What are you getting him?
What am I going to get Toto?
Anger management courses?
Yeah, that might help.
These are remarkable that these players are coming
aren't
out.
They? Unbelievable.
Drawn out, aren't
yeah.
they?
What would I get Toto?
What are the chances of that?
Just an olive branch.
Aw.
Yeah, with a little bow.
How are you in touch these days, by the way?
Have
you
not seen him since? Also, you know, you mentioned John Nolan's interview earlier.
Mm-hmm.
He does not want to do press anymore, by all accounts.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. After that.
Well, we had the cheek of reporting what he said.
Yeah. Well, the headline was sort of a quote, wasn't it? I'm not a number 10 and we need to play more football, or whatever he said. And he feels that that's got overplayed by all accounts. So, word is, he does not want to do press anymore.
What does he expect when he says stuff like that, that we're just not going to report it?
I don't know. I'm just telling you.
Okay, interesting. Because obviously I wrote that story, so have I got us into trouble?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the way it is.
Banter.
Hutchie, meanwhile, while you've been telling me that I've got us banned from town, has revealed that there is such a book called How to Run Properly.
By Trevor Klinger.
Big right. Trev.
Available on Kindle. Do you know if Miles has got a Kindle?
No, probably not.
You can get it on audiobook as well. Ooh. Which is always...
Hardcover? Is that hardcover?
It's an electronic only book, which makes me think it's new and up to date with the latest methods. So
there you go, Miles.
Of running.
Get ready.
So you can order that. Hutchie, give us a number.
6.
Oh, it's Paul Lambert.
I've changed my mind, actually. 9.
Oh, that's Paul Lambert as well.
Oh, right.
What are you getting, Lambo?
I'll get him... He's expressed a desire to own a honey badger.
He has.
So I'd get him one of them, because they're ready.
Where would you get one from? Because we know you can't get one in Ipswich.
He doesn't... Well, how do you know that? Have you tried?
Did you see one of our listeners, and I can't remember who, so apologies, sent us a link to... There's one... like wildlife park in the UK, and it's in Kent, that has honey badger.
You can adopt it,
and they bred the first honey badger in the UK.
Okay, well, I'll take him there then. I'll take him down there to meet them.
It's near Canterbury.
It's a nice day out in itself. Canterbury.
He'd love it. Absolutely love it.
They've played Gillingham already, annoyingly. Could have tied it in. But yeah, I'll take him to the wildlife park, meet his namesake.
That'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
And adopt.
If you haven't heard the audio from the pod, or you weren't at the live pod, there was a video with Lambo being addressed by young Mr. Ross over there, talking about the honey badger and his nickname, which we will be putting out probably on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, as our little gift to you, because it is a good video. Ross, some of your finest work, including impersonating the noise of a honey badger, which is pretty accurate, I think. So, yeah, look forward to that. Does anyone want to give me a player to buy a gift for?
Can I choose a number off your list?
Yeah, it's number... go on.
19.
You've got to give me the player, though, so...
It's on your list. Jordan Roberts.
Oh, Jay Robs. What am I getting him? God, what to get a man who has everything? Jay Robs. I'm probably getting him something, some kind of strapping for his sore toe. I'm getting him... What else am I getting him? I don't
Socks?
Know, probably... Socks are a bit predictable, aren't they, this time of year? Well, I'll tell you what I would do with J-Robs. I'd say, Jordan, let's go out for a nice meal. I'll take you somewhere nice. We can have a chat about you. I want to get to know you, Jordan, and what's holding you back, because obviously you are being held back at town. So, yeah, I'd probably take him off for a nice little meal somewhere.
Where would you take him? You're a well-versed man in Suffolk.
Where's Jordan from?
He lives in Trimley at the moment.
No, but where's he from originally? Do we know?
Yeah, I think he's kind of East London-y, North London-y, I think. Originally.
He's from London. Okay. Where do I take him in London? The Gavroche is lovely in London. So I might take him there. It depends what he's into, really.
He's from Watford.
A date.
Huh?
Is this a date?
It's not a date, no. It's more two chaps who've got a great deal of respect for each other. Going out for a nice bite to eat. I mean, obviously, I'm assuming he's got a great deal of respect for me, or indeed even knows who I am. Very unlikely.
He hasn't said.
By the way, while we're on this subject of players who I adore, where's my Aaron Dryan shirt?
In my bag.
You got it with you?
Yeah.
That was genuinely the highlight of my year, getting a shirt from Aaron Dryan. And I love the detail that's the first ever Aaron Dryan shirt the town have printed to be sold.
I printed that shirt.
Yeah,
as well.
Again, there's a video, isn't there? Somewhere have you printed?
Yeah, it's not a great video.
Was it everything you hoped for?
Yeah, it was great. I really enjoyed it. It's really hard to do.
Thank you very much, my friend, for taking the time to sign it. I'm not sure you really knew what you were doing when you did the video.
Is it his birthday?
Yeah. How did you explain me to Aaron Dryan? Did you say
it was a very long conversation on how great he is and he's been overlooked.
Yeah,
and
so did you explain that I'm basically president of his fan club?
Yes.
Founding member.
That's why he said, is it to your birthday? And I was like, no.
No.
But he's the
but
host of the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, boys, from one bit of nonsense to another, the live strike at the live pod was 25 minutes long, boys. So it was a quarter of the show we've worked out, which I think was probably a little bit much.
It's run over that, hasn't it?
It's gone over. It's gone over. Roscoe,
it's worth it.
What have you got up your sleeve for today? It's time for the strike.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Strike, brought to you by the greatest quiz show host on planet Earth, producer Ross.
What? Roscoe, you've actually got a piece of paper this time.
Yeah, I thought I'd be prepared.
Really levelled up.
Yeah, I thought from the live pod, my agent's been in contact with me and there's been a few
negotiations, a few suggestions.
America?
This isn't going to take 25 minutes, is it, this one?
No,
Did you just say America?
America, yeah.
They're interested.
They love it in America, mate.
Soccer, you know.
Absolutely love it.
More money in America as
well.
They
think, look at this crazy Brit.
Yeah.
Go.
Okay. So, Pointer's Ross Fact of the Week.
Yes.
So, last time Town played on Christmas Day was in 1957.
They used to play on Christmas Day?
Yeah.
Did they?
They drew 1-1 away to West Ham.
Wow.
Then they played against them again the next day at home.
On Boxing Day?
Yeah, on Boxing Day in 1957. Crazy.
And we say now they've got a hectic schedule.
Yeah, it's crazy. They won 2-1 thanks to a brace from Brian Sidow.
Good lad, Brian.
Good lad.
That's a good fact. I liked it.
Yeah, points fact of the week. Let's get to guess who.
Yes.
Current player. Links up with current player.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He started his professional career at Stockport County, joining Ipswich in 2018. I don't know why I can't say Ipswich right.
You just thought you're a busy man. You ain't got time to say the P in Ipswich.
It's baffling.
It's born and raised in this town.
Yeah. Anyone going to jump in?
Hutchie,
just think I know who it is.
Go for it, come on.
Is it John Nolan?
It is.
Oh.
It's been mentioned so much during this pod as well. I thought,
what are the chances of that?
Yeah. Time okay. Flashback.
Yes.
Clip that up.
Me.
So, back in 1963.
Yeah, Hutchie, suck it.
What?
Because normally it's like 2005 and Hutchie was at the game, so.
Okay, don't clip that bit up.
Yeah, don't clip that bit up.
So, yeah, Town lost. So, Town lost 10-1 at Fulham.
Yes.
In the Boxing Day Massacre.
Yes.
But who scored the consolation goal that day?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It does to this guy who scored.
Yeah.
It probably doesn't.
Anyway.
What are the choices?
Ron Blackwood.
Big Ron.
Joey Baker. Or Joe Broadfoot.
So
not your Ted Phillips or like. So it's three.
I'm saying A, Big Ron Greenwood.
Okay.
I'm saying C, Joe Broadfoot. I was at the game.
I'll take the other one. B.
Big Jerry.
Little
Big
Jerry.
He's American as well, and you're correct.
Oh, yes. 1-1.
He's American as well.
Is he?
He is, yeah.
Jezza.
Good old Jezza.
American Jezza.
Yeah. Now, this could be controversial one, this one.
Oh, no. It's not about politics, is it?
No. Good. It's in 2014.
Oh.
So.
Well, this is when Hutchie famously wasn't watching Town, isn't it?
Famously. Yeah, I know, I wasn't.
But yes, Town won 4-2 at Brentford on Boxing Day.
Oh, they did, I remember it well.
But, yeah. Who scored the final goal that day?
I know.
Murphy, Smith, or Anderson? Darren, Tommy, Paul?
I know. I think it was Tommy Smith.
Okay.
I think it was Tommy Smith.
Okay.
I can picture the Tommy Smith arms spread wide celebration. I know Murphy also scored in that game, but I'll go for Smith.
It is. All three of them actually scored in that game, but, you know, Smith scored the last one.
Yes.
So they all got that correct.
Murphy scored really quick.
Murphy got two. 20
seconds, yeah, two goals.
Murphy got two. Well, do I get an extra point for that?
No.
For knowledge? No.
No.
So what's the score, Ross?
1.
Yeah.
2.
2. 2-2-1. Excellent.
Numbers game. Made his debut at the live strike. So Numbers game. He's back.
Yes.
So, once again, this is the closest to the number.
Mm-hmm.
Kieran Dyer scored as Town beat Portsmouth 3-0 at Portman Road on Boxing Day 98. I was 2 years old.
All right.
But how many goals in total did he score?
In his Town career, or just overall?
In his Town career.
Just for Town. How many goals did Kieran Dyer score for Town?
Just to give you a nice little clue, he made 117 appearances, so just a little raging there.
I think he scored 21 goals.
That's exactly what I was about to say, 21.
Is it?
I will go 23.
Okay.
But I actually think it might be 19. But I'm going 23.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to go 19. Yeah.
Stu's right.
Oh,
yes.
It's 12.
Oh. What? He only got 12?
Yeah.
Wow.
Destroy their ones here, drum dip.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry about that. The levels went up.
So Stu is winning at the moment.
3-2-1.
This is the last question.
Stu is on the verge of victory.
Good old Marcus Bent scored his first Town goal.
Good old Marcus, yeah.
He scored his first Town goal in the Blues 2-0 win over Leicester City on Boxing Day 2001.
Yeah.
This is in his wheelhouse. Once again, how many goals did he score in total for Town?
I'm loving, for anyone, obviously you can't see this, but Ross is really adding flourish to this. He's shaking his paper out. He's really putting on a performance. So how many goals did Marcus Bent
good
score for
Marcus
Town?
Ben.
Yeah, good old Marcus Bent.
How many games did good old Marcus play?
Don't know if I want to give it to you because you're winning. 71.
He played 71 games for Town. I reckon Marcus Bent scored 15 goals.
Okay.
I'm going to say 23 again, like I did for whoever the last person was. Who was the last person?
Kieran Dyer. That was good old Kieran.
Yeah, 23 goals for Marcus Bent.
Okay.
26.
23.
Good old Marcus Bent.
Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
So does that mean it's...
Surely...
It's a tiebreaker, isn't it?
It is. Do you have a tiebreaker question?
Yes. How many goals has John Nolan scored?
What, for Town?
Yeah, for Town, yeah.
How many goals has John Nolan scored for Town?
That's part one of the clues, so I thought, oh, that works nicely.
So you've stolen the tiebreaker from somewhere else.
To be fair, we've shown initiative there, so...
I like that.
Yeah.
Four...
Three.
Four.
Oh.
Yay. Another win.
Getting boring now.
To add to me and Aaron's win from the live...
As a boom.
From the live strike.
Oh, it's an outro.
Hi, guys.
It's my boy.
Hi, guys. Barry Cotter here. That was another edition of The Strike with producer Ross. Tune in next week for another edition of The Great Quiz Show.
Thanks, Barry.
Barry, what a lad.
Oh. I should bring it back up. Yeah, that's it. I wanted to make it more Christmassy, but
you didn't.
You couldn't be bothered.
But Merry Christmas.
Yeah, there we go. Excellent. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you all, Kings of Anger Army. I hope you've enjoyed that, because we certainly did. So, Hutchie, how much do you now lead by in the Strike series?
I've got a good lead, I think. I'm doing all right.
Roscoe, as you would know, obviously, as the host, you would know exactly what the score is.
I think he's on 8, I think.
I think I'm on 8. I think I'm on 8 as well.
Jesus. Yeah. So what is it, 8? I think I've got 2.
Two, I think Stu's 1-1.
Eight. He's won more than that. Haven't
he? I think shit.
I think it might be 8-2-2.
Best of 10.
Right then, boys. It's time for mailbag. Do you want to make it a little Christmassy mailbag? Done to the tune of Jingle Bells. You can't do that, can you?
Yeah.
Go on then.
Can do that.
Go on.
Mailbag. Questions on the way. Oh, what fun it is to dip and hear the thoughts of listeners. Hey! Mailbag, jingle all the way, questions on the way. Oh, what fun it is to hear listeners have their say. Hey!
Like it.
And is there a doo-doo, or is that...
No. Don't need that for Christmas.
You do a sleigh bell.
Let's dive right in. Nigel G, friend of the show.
Number nine. Big fish, which is a bass.
It's a carp.
Hang on. We need to say thank you to Nigel.
Yeah, we do, yeah.
Nigel brought us gifts to the live show.
He did. It was excellent.
Nigel waited at the end and produced some wrapped Christmas personalised gifts for us all.
Yeah, what did we all get? I got a podcast host book. Very, very useful for writing down ideas and thoughts and concepts. constructs and stuff like that. Hutchie, what did you get?
20 things to do with a banana.
Because we all know how much you love bananas. Stewie, you got a colouring book, didn't you?
I got a colouring book, the colouring book for bald men, so I can colour in various different hairstyles that I can only dream of having.
When you have the transplant, yeah.
Thanks for that, Nigel. Yeah.
And Roscoe, you got a...
I got two presents.
You got two?
Yeah. Got some gloves that are, you know, what are they called?
Gloves?
What are you doing?
Trying to explain.
Big enough. Fingerless gloves. Okay.
Fingerless gloves. And then a book about reporting my chronic illnesses.
Yeah.
And I think I may write in that soon because I'm coming down with something.
Got the Christmas sniffles.
Yeah.
And also, as a group, he also got us the guide to the honey badger and other ferocious animals, which was lovely. Thank you, Nigel. It was really good to meet
Thanks,
you.
Nigel.
And his son.
And his son, yes.
Lovely young man.
Young Nigel.
Doing a physics degree. Remember.
Was his name Jack?
I think it was.
Thanks for coming, guys. He says, enjoyed meeting you all at hashtag KRA Live. A great night. Correct. With Christmas almost here... What's the best Christmas cracker gift you've ever had? I like the fortune-telling fish, but it's very unreliable. And he says, should a honey badger, hashtag honey badger, with the emojis, toy now be a mandatory cracker present? And Merry Christmas to all the Kings of Anglia Army. What a lovely sentiment. What's the best thing you're getting a cracker? Because the gifts are always pretty poor, aren't they?
Genuinely, I could really do with a screwdriver set this year.
Yeah,
I need the really small one because one of my daughter's little toys has run out of battery. And it needs... I haven't got a small enough screwdriver.
Those are genuinely useful, aren't they?
I could genuinely...
You get them in crackers, don't you? The little ones and
so on. That's literally what we're talking about.
Oh, sorry. Oh,
Jesus. Right, can we just rewind to the start when we say we pick on Ross?
Yeah.
Like, and I said he doesn't help him. So,
yeah.
Goal.
Yeah. You get them in crackers, don't you? Anyway, Stewie, what's the best thing you've ever got in a cracker? I think, to be fair, it's actually knocked out of the park. Comb. Sick burn.
Oh no, that wasn't directed at Stewie.
Oh, wasn't it?
I think generally, I
quite on,
like
it should have been. That would
I've
been good.
Saved you in the fire, mate. I could change my mind.
I'll save myself. I don't need your help.
What are the best things? We did some crackers yesterday. I had a little sort of pre-Christmas family meal, and I got one of those little golf, like a little mini plastic golf putter and a ball, and you had to get it in the hole. That provided some entertainment.
That's a fancy cracker.
Probably M&S or something.
No, it wasn't fancy.
Wasn't it?
It's just a little plastic.
Sounds like a level up.
Little plastic thing.
Roscoe, you're noted for hating Christmas. Do you ever have crackers?
Yes.
What do you get? What do you like to get?
Pack cards. Little game.
Pack cards?
Pack cards, boy.
Those tiny little cards.
Yeah.
That are sort of like... Right for your little hands with your little gloves.
Yeah.
Tony Southgate, official doorman of Kings of Anglia, and aware of the Honey Badger hoodie available from Glory Days Artwork.
Not many left, though.
Only three left, I believe, at last count. They're flying off the shelves. Brad has played a blinder there. What's the worst Christmas present you've ever received? He says, I'll start. My ex-mother-in-law once got me a bottle of Head and Shoulders. Wasn't the only reason for the divorce. The worst Christmas present you've ever received? I can't genuinely think of any present that I've been given that I've thought, that's bad. Even the obligatory pants and socks and stuff, they're useful, aren't they?
Hmm?
Christmas tat. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but anything that's like Christmas tat.
The next question I think will be more interesting. Kevin Mays, I wasn't slagging you off there, Tony, I'm just saying I think you might have more interesting...
Awful question. Awful, mate.
Merry Christmas to you, Tony. Kevin Mays, what's the worst present you've ever given... The last minute, can't be asked, so got you this SHIT present, and then felt embarrassed about it afterwards. He adds, great pod, keep up the good work. Merry Christmas to you all. Isn't that nice? Feeling the love from the KOA Army. The worst present you've ever given. For some reason, I think Ross might have a good answer to this. I've got a really good answer. Back in the day, in the formative days of my relationship with my lovely wife, Liz, I was searching for inspiration, and one of my fellow staff members at the Bay Free Press at the time where I was working suggested that what I might like to get her. This is Trini and Susanna.
Yeah.
What
Not to Wear.
What Not to Wear. It was a big thing. They had a obviously a really popular show. Do you remember that, Hutchie?
Yeah, I'm not... Yeah, just struggling with the names.
And so basically, they brought out a book, which was advising women as to how to...
Oh, no.
And she said, why don't you get Liz that book? And give us and put some money in there to get some new clothes. And I,
I didn't really think about it.
Yeah.
How young were you?
I was mid 20s.
You should have known better.
I should have known better, shouldn't I? Because at the time, I thought, yeah, I mean, she loves that show. She always watches it.
And I can
then
see
I,
the logic.
Yeah,
but
and then I did actually go through with it. And now I look back and think, what were you doing, young Heath? So many things I need to tell you about the ways of the women.
Yeah.
That was
your wardrobe is not up to my standards.
You look shabby. Here's some money to buy yourself something better.
£10. Go and buy something really nice.
So yeah, that was by a long way my worst present I've ever bought for anyone. Can anyone top that?
We bought one of our university lecturers a fish for Christmas, and he was moving back to Greece 10 days later.
Did he cook it?
He took it with him. Genuinely, oh, nice. It didn't last long though.
I've got one.
Fade yourself up, Ross. Yeah, there we go.
I thought this was actually going to be a good present. This was last year. This is me and Sasha's first Christmas as a couple.
Yeah.
And I bought an album from one of her singers. She likes Adam Smith. It was a lot of money because it was very rare. It was like £80, I think it was. And she likes her, but not to an extent where she hasn't listened to that album yet. And we, on New Year's Eve, she played it in her car. And first song, she went, well, this is rubbish. And yeah, she hasn't bothered listening to it since, so a lot of money wasted.
Poor choice.
I thought it was a good present because I was like, oh, you know, this is very rare. You can't get this album.
Oh, is this the one you brought into the office?
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
Really impressed with.
Yeah, very impressed. You'd
gone to the lengths of the earth to find it.
Yeah, basically. And
she hates it.
She hates. Yeah.
Oh,
so
disappointing.
Yeah.
I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Stewie.
I'm just trying to think. In terms of worst presents received, bless my Nan Grace, but she. You can't make. Sort of a, throughout the year, if you make a throwaway comment about something, and this comes from a great place in her heart, that she will clock it, and then you will get a Christmas present sort of around it. Like for example, one summer, the I don't like cricket, I love it was playing on the radio, and I just happened to hum along to it, and she went, "Oh, do you like this one?" And yeah, it's all right. And then I ended up with like a reggae compilation album for Christmas.
Oh, that's sweet though.
Yeah, it is very sweet. Yeah. And I said something about, oh, apparently she was sort of saying that she wasn't sleeping well and was stressed. And I said, oh, apparently fish tanks are meant to be sort of quite, you know, quite calming. If you have a fish tank in your room or something like that. And you sort of went, oh yeah, maybe one day I'll get something like that. And then she got me a fish tank, but it was one of the ones that you kind of turn on with a battery and they have little plastic fish kind of like floating around in it and stuff like that. But that comes from a very kind
I like
place.
That. Classic
there
granny
was
present.
One year I wrapped all my Christmas presents for the family in tin foil.
That works incredibly well.
Yeah, but it does. It works well because you don't need to do any sticking. But
when you see them next to all the others with the bows and
is everyone in here terrible at wrapping presents?
Yes.
I can't do it. What is it about it?
Fun fact, this was the first year that I actually did wrapping presents because I never normally did it.
What?
Normally got my mum did it for me.
I thought you were going to say you just gave them like...
Here you go.
Yeah, unwrapped.
Yeah.
Surprise. Dave Gort brings the tone down, Dave. Asked about football. He says, sorry, football related this one. Are ITFC a better team now than when Paul Lambert took over or not?
A better team.
If you're comparing them to the first month of Paul Lambert, you know, I enjoyed watching that iteration of Ipswich Town more than I've enjoyed it of late, but that's a really hard question to answer. I enjoyed the energy and the directness, not long ball directness, but attacking directness of that first month, the hustle, the bustle, the pace of it. I really enjoyed watching that. Didn't necessarily get the results, but difficult question.
Yeah, with that team that was at February time where they had some really good performances, West Brom always sticks in my mind. There was a few others around that time, that team playing that way would beat this current team in their current form, wouldn't it?
I think so, yeah.
James Johnson, double J Money, J squared. Do you think KVY, aka Jellyman, aka Big Daddy Kane, his injury is the biggest downfall of our recent form due to his involvement in the team and how he gets everyone involved and makes that little spark? Or do you think it's the squad rotation? And he adds, also, Merry Christmas to you all with the honey badger emojis. And he also asks, because obviously I tweeted the mailbag thing out last night, are you tweeting the mailbag questions out on the official KOA Twitter to stop the arguments on who posts it? Good point, J Money. So is KVY how big a factor is his injury? Obviously, we touched on it earlier. Injuries have been an issue. It's got to be one of the big ones up there, hasn't it, in terms of what he means to the team? And because Town don't have a player who can replace him,
it makes the playing of the wing back system difficult and a bit puzzling at times. That they haven't got a natural replacement for him. I don't particularly like Gwion Edwards in that position. I feel a little sorry for him. His form's been poor, but little chance. He's constantly changing his position on the pitch. But I think playing that wing back system without Vincent Young's really difficult. But I wouldn't. I don't think if he had been fit, I think the issues we're currently seeing with rotation may still be there. I don't know, or has his injury contributed to that constantly twisting to try and find a formula? I don't know.
There's a good point there. As much as they've missed his qualities, his an attacking sense, definitely is sort of that dynamism. The goal he scored against Tranmere. Okay, but also I think defensively they've missed his sort of using his pace to get, you know, he made some really vital interceptions, but taking his ability as a player out of the equation, I think it's really messed up settling on a system. And I think we might have settled on wing backs had he been available, because without him you haven't really got, like you say, Edwards and Danasian aren't the same players as a wing back. But then if you go, okay, we haven't got wing backs, we'll go back to 4-4-2. I don't think they've got wingers that are exactly fit and firing at the moment either, and then so that's why they've ended up trying a couple of different systems along the way. His injury has kind of thrown a lot of things up in the air. As much as missing him as a player, I think that's kind of contributed to a bit of the chopping and changing as well, probably.
Question next from a lovely lady called Liz, who simply says, Hutch Hogan, how is the new on-the-floor heating working out, and have you treated yourself to a little lie down on it yet? Hashtag heating envy. And you obviously did actually reply with a picture of your kitchen, which I've got to say, that's a sexy looking kitchen.
Like
actually.
It?
It's lovely. Kitchen porn.
It is a good kitchen.
Have you lain down on the floor?
Yeah. Yeah, every few days I'll have a little lie down there.
It's lovely, isn't it?
It is very nice.
Is it the best thing you've ever done? A little better than Jessica.
Yes, very much so.
I assume you take all your clothes off when you...
Constantly naked at home anyway.
Yeah.
So...
I look forward to the podcast at your house. Humbug, who is friend of the show number one. Friend of the show.
Oh, we've had a name change, haven't we?
Daryl Jones, who I assume is not a fan of Christmas. He says, rate the current Town squad using the chocolates found in a box of celebrations. He says, just pick 11 random players, a la the hashtag Honey Badger. I'm not familiar, really, with what's in a box of celebrations. Is that the Snickers
that's
Mars?
That's your Nestlé.
Is it?
You're getting your Snickers, Mars, Bounty, Twix.
How are you rating?
Who's Bounty?
I like the Bounties.
Bounties, I would say, underrated.
The problem here is we're not going to agree on a ranking, are we?
Mm. Milky Way.
Again, underrated. I like a Milky Way.
We have to come up with some sort of warped analogy about how somebody is coconutty and tropical or something.
I was more going with underrated, like Jordan Roberts, obviously. Milky Jordan. Yeah, who would be the Mars bar, the massively overrated player in the bunch?
Commercial,
exactly.
Sellout.
Yeah, too sickly by half. Probably best not answer that. Christian Davis wants to know, what's your favourite Christmas song? 2,000 Miles by the Pretenders for me. I'm not familiar with that, but Christmas songs. What are you saying?
I don't like any of them.
You don't like any Christmas songs? None?
Not hugely.
Even at this time of year?
No.
Not even Christmas in Hollis by the Mighty Run DMC, which started the show?
I have to be honest, I was not aware that song existed until last year's Christmas.
That's because it happened Christmas before podcast. You were born, as we already established. Stewie, favourite Christmas song?
What's is it called Spaceman? The one about the... And it went... you know that one? Is it
no.
Chris Rea?
Yeah, I know...
Oh, yeah, that was loud.
Driving Home for Christmas, I quite like.
I know which song you mean, yeah. I don't know who that's by, though. I don't think it's Chris Rea.
I'll have a look. I like that.
Yeah, lovely. Roscoe, what's your favourite Christmas song? Oh, Last Christmas. He answers with the song. Good work. This is a belter, I've got to say. I think mine would probably be Christmas in Hollis, followed closely by one of the classic Johnny Mathis numbers, When a Child is Born. That, my friends, is Christmas.
Yeah.
What's a Hollis?
It's A Spaceman Came Travelling by John Gibbons.
Ah, there you go. Get on that.
Spaceman came down to answer some things.
I know, sorry, that is Christa Burr. Sorry, it's Christa Burr.
Christa Burr.
Google is...
Mr. Lady in Red. Oh, hold on, Ross is in action again. A Hollis, Hutchie, for you asking, it was the area of New York that they came from.
Is it?
The Hollis Project.
Whereabouts is that?
It's in New York, mate.
You got any more for me than that?
Harlem.
Have you made that up?
I assume it is in Harlem. Roscoe is now...
Let me just try to fill time.
Buoyed by his success with Last Christmas, he's now found this little cracker. It's a Christmas cracker. Christa Burr, Stuart Watson's favourite Christmas song. You're listening to the Kings of Anglia podcast Christmas special, coming at you live.
It's quite a nice
it needs to kick in, doesn't it?
It does.
Oh, this is the karaoke version. There's not.
There it is.
Okay, that's enough of that, Ross. Here we go. Back to football. Ross Wishart says, HMS Piss the League now resembles the current state of the Bismarck. However, at the start of the season, given the level of trepidation at a time, would we have accepted our current position? I'd say yes, discuss. Well, certainly, it's not really about where they are currently now, is it? It's about the feeling around the team and the run. But certainly third place with a game in hand, you would take, wouldn't you?
Yes. If you'd have mixed up all of these results, we're talking about sort of a really good start and then dropping off. If you'd have kind of shuffled all these results up and talked about a slow start that was now building to this, then you'd have taken that, wouldn't you? Okay, it took us a little while to find our feet in League One, but we're getting going now and we're building some momentum. You'd have taken that. But it's just it's just the way the season's panned out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Martin Code, if we don't go up, again, it's one of these rhetorical questions, if we don't go up, should Lambert be sacked? Will Evans sack him?
Are we okay? Just before we continue,
I think we're okay.
Are you all right with hearing these weird noises in our headphones?
Yeah, I don't know if you can pick that up on the audio. We suddenly have a little companion in our headphones, which is like a little...
It's the spaceman. Little spaceman. Spaceman has infected the system.
So hopefully that's not interrupting your listening enjoyment too much. So Martin Coates says, if we don't go up, should Lambert be sacked and will Evans sack him?
Goodness me, can we have this chat another day?
Shall we wait until that happens?
If they don't go up.
It depends how they don't go up.
Yeah, it depends. If they finish like 12th and like completely fall like a stone, then that's a conversation to have. If they lose a playoff final, that's a completely different scenario, isn't it? Who knows? That's maybe not one to have in that depth today.
Glory Days artwork, the mighty Brad, the man with the honey badger hoodie and various other fine bits of kit. With the January transfer window just around the corner, could this dip in form be a blessing in disguise with regards to Marcus Evans loosening the purse strings?
Possibly. Possibly it might strengthen Lambert's arm. He's talked recently at the recent AGM about he'll be chipping away at Evans and, well, I can't remember what words he used. We'll have a little argument and a set to about things, and we'll see who gets their own way. But
it'll certainly spark some conversation, won't it? In terms of January targets and things like that, it will certainly be this. It's certainly something they'll be talking about.
As I've said before, I always go back to 2014-15, and I think having interviewed Marcus, it's clear that I think he looks back on that as a point where perhaps they should have done more in January. He told me, I said to Mick, what can I do? Is there anything I can do to kind of strengthen from a position of strength? And I think it was very much Mick saying, I don't want to upset the apple cart in terms of the harmony of the squad and bringing people in. So I think that might affect Marcus this year to think, you know, we should have done more then and we'll make sure we do more now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens in January. I'm sure somebody will come in, but I'm sure there'll be exits as well. It's going to be a very interesting month.
He's kind of hinted at that, hasn't he? For in terms of ins, there's probably going to need to be outs. The squad is starting to get really bloated now, so You'd have to trim that a bit.
Okay, let's take a couple more because we're coming up to the hour 15 minute mark. We want to get done in under an hour and a half because we've got stuff to do. Ross Evans wants to know, he says, Merry Christmas, gents. Any realistic New Year's resolutions, not just the general go to the gym or want to lose weight? Mine is to go to a music gig, as I've only ever done music festivals. You'd love to go and see Madness. And he adds hashtag RTFC, hashtag Kings of Anglia. Excellent hashtags. New Year's resolutions. I suspect that none of us in here make New Year's resolutions apart from me. I don't really make resolutions. I write a list of goals down at the start of every year because that's the way my mind works. So have you got, what would you make any resolutions?
More of, I'm similar to yourself, really. It's more of things that I want to do rather than resolutions. And they're little things like put the notice board up or tidy the spare room.
That's a realistic resolution, though, isn't it? Tidy the spare room. That's something you can tick off nicely.
Also this year, I'm going to try, I've wanted to, for ages, I like going to new European football venues.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try and do a couple this year
before
the end of the season. Yeah, before they knock it down, I want to go to the San Siro, and I want to go to Celtic.
You were going to go to Celtic not long ago, weren't you? But you changed your plans.
Yeah.
So that's on your list. Excellent. Yeah. Stuart Watson, are you a resolutions man?
No. A few years ago, I'll have to zip through this story, but a few years ago I made one, and it ended with me facilitating a homeless man's drug habit. So that didn't work out too well.
What was that, random act of kindness or something?
Yeah, so I was driving down to Cornwall. My wife was expecting at the time. Life was good. She'd been down in Cornwall for Christmas. I'd been up here working, and then I was driving 400 miles solo down to Cornwall to meet up with her. Driving along, plenty of time to think, right, things are good for me, so my New Year's resolution is going to be I'm going to be kinder to people. Random acts of kindness. I'm going to look after people. Pulled into the services somewhere on the M5. I smoked at the time, so I was having a cigarette and a coffee, and this homeless guy sort of came up to me, struck up conversation, and ultimately he said, do you mind driving me into town quickly? I need to pick up some medicine from somewhere. And he was like your stereotypical homeless man off of a film, you know, like looked like a classic sort of hobo. And he ended up sort of getting in my Mini that I drove at the time, and he led me on a bit of a merry drive around this random town down in the southwest, and I never thought he was going to get out of my car eventually. So
just to interjected, did you drive him to buy drugs?
No, well he said he went to get medication, but that may have been the case.
His sweet medicine.
In the end he wasn't going to get out of my car, and so in the end I said, look, I've got to go now. I suddenly realized as I was driving around not knowing where I was that this kind act had turned into perhaps one of the most reckless things I'd done, as he was eyeing up various things in my car, and perhaps as a father-to-be that I'd maybe put myself in an unsafe situation. But eventually I said, look, you've got to get out now. I'll drop you back at the services. And he said, can you just roll me a cigarette because my hands aren't too good? And that cigarette, he then wanted me to put some sort of spice or something into it that he produced from his pocket, and shamelessly I did that
just
to get him out of my car.
Turmeric or something.
Oh, yeah.
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 All the good ones.
All the no more kindness then? You knocked all the kindness on the head.
That's why you're so miserable now.
since then, I've been a vicious man.
A vicious swine. Let's take a couple more. The Pin, friend of the show.
Number
two. Dear Mr. Honey Badger, he says, I really believed you were the one. You could change things, that we had a chance. Sadly, I was wrong. You messed up the opportunity of a lifetime. I can't believe I was fooled. It's time to go. Mr. Evans, do what needs to be done. Hashtag Christmas turmoil. Blimey. I think that's a bit over the top, don't you?
We kind of scoffed at hashtag turmoil earlier in the season, didn't we?
Yeah, he saw what was coming. Maybe this is foreseeing the future again. We're certainly not at the point of hashtag Evans do what needs to be done.
No.
But, maybe.
I think any of this criticism that we're voicing and putting down on paper, nobody should sort of misconstrue that as managerial change talk. We're
nowhere
point
close
at the moment. And as I said earlier, things can change very, very quickly over the next, three or four games or whatever, but people are entitled to sort of voice little nagging doubts along the way. But Lambert's right. He'll be judged at the end of the season, ultimately. The bigger picture is Ipswich do or don't go up, and that is ultimately how Lambert will be judged.
We're talking about a run of, was it one win in 11 in 90 minutes? Really, really, it's one win in five for me. That's how I'm looking at it in terms of five league games without a win, so one win in six. That's what I'm looking at. The little cup interlude, which has caused a few issues of its own, I think. I'm less bothered by that.
Yeah. I would extend that maybe to the nine league games, because that little run includes the two defeats to Accrington and Rotherham at the start of it, and then you add the two wins against Southend and Rochdale, and let's be honest, everyone beat Southend. I know it was Campbell's first game, and you've got to give him credit for that, but it's 9 points from nine league games, so even if you want to put the cup games to one side, that's still nine.
It's obviously
games.
Not great, but I do think we just need to forget about the cup side of things, because it's clear by the way they treated them that it's just not on the priority list.
The pin adds, on a lighter note, thanks to all four of you, and Mark in particular, for your weekly offerings this year. I'm sure I'm speaking on behalf of the KOA Army when I say what a pleasure it is to be part of the family, even though we disagree on the merits of Yorkshire puddings. Isn't that nice? The KOA Army is indeed what you all are. Everyone who listens to this show, a member of the KOA Army, and personal friends with me. Final question. Peck and Blue, how many beers had Mark Heath had before the live show? The answer is one. I had a pint of Red Stripe.
And whiskey.
I had a little sip of whiskey.
You did have a hip flask.
I did, yeah. I was mostly pepped up on excitement and adrenaline.
What about by the end of the show?
By the end of the show, I'd had three or four beers.
You were pretty gone by the time we went for our
cold air
show curry.
Cold air,
my friend. You did go downhill quite quick.
You were struggling.
I wasn't struggling at all.
I was
very, very friendly and happy.
You asked us how... Did that go well? I think you must have asked us all that about 100 times in the space of an hour.
And that is the reason why I've got your Drynan shirt in my bag and you didn't have it on you.
Yeah.
Because we decided when we got to your hotel that it would be best if I kept it.
Okay.
So that's why I've got it.
There you go. And the final question, Peck and Blue adds, also, what does Edwards offer that Dobra doesn't?
A little bit more control, I think. I take the point. But with Edwards, his form's been poor, his touch has dropped off. But what I would say is that he's been shunted around the pitch and had little chance to play in the role. Certainly in the role that he sees himself playing best, which is on the left wing. But in a wing role, he's had very little opportunity there. Would like to see more of Dobra though.
Okay.
If he were to use Dobra, it wouldn't be as a winger for me. It would be as a sort of a free roll number 10 type player. We talked about that midfield balance. I think for him, you'd be asking a lot for a young player to come in and sort of, certainly not a wing back. And even as a winger, you have to have a bit of sort of organisational discipline about you. I think I'd use him almost as a wild card and chuck him on as sort of a number 10 at the tip of a midfield three and just see what damage he could do, because he's certainly one of those that could go past players and break the lines
and pull something out.
Here in the mailbag for this Christmas special, thanks for everyone who sent in questions I haven't been able to get to, much appreciated. Boys, we better start thinking about going our separate ways and doing what we've got to do today. Obviously we are at the start of the vital festive period. I guess it kind of started on Saturday. Next three games, Gillingham at home on Boxing Day, Lincoln away on Sunday, and then Wickham, league leaders Wickham, away on New Year's Day. How important are these next three games?
Stu talked about it earlier, to use a festive analogy, the snowball effect, momentum, and that's what it is. It's really hard to kind of sit here and go and talk about the Wickham game that's in, 10 days time or so, because the context of going into that game could be completely changed, judging what happens on Boxing Day and then at Lincoln. But it's a vital opportunity to try and build some momentum that has to start on Boxing Day, and they could change the mood in the space of a week if things go well.
I think that perfectly sums it up. any other business before we take our leave?
No other business.
No other business.
No other business.
All that remains for me to say then, and I realise I've left out the Arch and Jingle, but we'll do that. It's our gift to you. We ain't going to play it. But what we are going to play is... But you love this, don't you, Hutchie?
Yeah, it's really good.
It's my... Come on, this is a cracker.
She's made it. She's back on the old crisp packets this year, isn't she?
Do you reckon Mariah Carey eats a lot of crisps?
At times.
All that's left then to say is, from all of us at Kings of Anglia, to all of you, the listeners, thanks very much for listening this year, getting involved and being part of the KOA army. We'd like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. Have a great one. Spend some time with your family. Hope you get lots of nice stuff. Stuff yourself with food. And we'll speak to you again next week.